Hello there and welcome to another episode of the Crisperience Show. Today I'm going to share with you a coffee which my wife bought it from a Dutch coffee roaster called Manhattan Roaster, and it's from Tanzania. Now, to be honest with you, I've been to Tanzania climbing Kilimanjaro and had some coffees as well there. I visited a fantastic coffee farm down in Moshi. I remember when I went there, talking to those people down there, it was amazing. I mean, the love and the passion which they shared for coffee, the plant itself, from the ground, from the very, very nature of the land, all the way up to the coffee, it was amazing. While, if I'm honest with you, the coffee which we tasted and what I purchased there, for obvious reasons, wasn't particularly my favorite, just to put it nicely. And every time when I taste coffee from Tanzania, I'm very excited since I've been there, visited the country, visited one particular coffee farm, just, you know, seeing from the very basic growing up the plant and, you know, imitating a harvest and all those things, you know, of course, as a coffee tourist, you would do. But coffees were okay. Nothing really exciting. Nothing really exciting stood up. And I was a bit sad because, you know, Tanzania is a beautiful country. It's magnificent. The people are really nice. They're really helpful. And it's amazing. When I found this coffee, actually, when I tasted this coffee for the first time, I didn't know nothing about it. I just made a cup of it, V60 style, and a Hario switch. And it was amazing. I mean, as I had it, it was just amazing. The freshness, the brightness. It was a burst of freshness. It was zippy, zingy, refreshing, bright, lively. All the attributes, all the things which you would call acidity was in there. Now, this is amazing. So it comes from Tanzania, as I told you, from Arusha, actually. This is where I stayed when I was climbing up Kilimanjaro. From a particular farm, Fingaro, this chap, Neil Fohora, I hope I pronounced his name correctly. He did a very interesting processing method, citric carbonic, it's called. And the variety is a bourbon variety, very special bourbon N39 variety. Now, the bourbon variety actually comes from Réunion. It's a hybrid of Typica, and there are different other varieties as well. This particular is an N39 variety of the bourbon family. And citric carbonic, I have to look up my notes here. What they did is they added citric acid to the tank where they put the cherries for fermentation 150 hours. So they added citric acid actually for the fermentation. Something which you would do in a wine world as well, if you, for instance, your wine is low in acidity, you could add, you would mainly do tartaric acid, but you could also do citric acid to a certain limit and to just boost the acidity, basically. Going sideways a little bit, when I did my sensory professional at the Specialty Coffee Association, we had to taste lots of different acidities, tartaric, malic, lactic, citric acid as well. And all the coffee people, they appreciated citric acid. And when I tasted citric acid first in the water solution, I said, whoa, what is this? This is very sharp, very edgy, very intense. Tartaric acid, this is the nice acidity. It's the winey-like, you know, which kind of gives you a sideways mouthfeel on the side cheeks as well. Citric acid, I called it, it's a dump acid, the dumb acid, basically. And all the coffee people were laughing. Of course, because, you know, they appreciate the high acidity. Coffee has compared to wine, a much lower acidity. And this is the reason why they want to have more acidity. And citric acid actually gives you the intensity. It has a more stronger and heavier boost. I'm jumping all around the place. So going back to Tanzania, amazing country, you know. They started to making coffee in the 16th century. I mean, you're surrounded with other great coffee nations like Kenya in the north. Ethiopia is not far away. So you have a lot of, in Africa, you have a lot of great coffee nations surrounding Tanzania. And fast forward the history of Tanzania, 1925, there was a big co-op which was formed. And then the politics also started to focus more on coffee in the 1970s and the 80s. And, you know, today it's a fairly stable coffee country. But again, every time when I see a Tanzanian coffee, I'm really excited since I've been there. But when I found this, when we tasted this and we found out this is a Cup of Excellence winner, actually, from Tanzania on the 1,720 meters of altitude, this was amazing when I had the first cup. I mean, I can't replicate the excitement which I had back then because I literally was brewing it. I saw it's Tanzania. Of course, Manhattan is a great roaster. They're doing fantastic coffee. It was just refreshing, bright, vibrant. I said, this was literally really like a wow effect for me. And this process, again, I'm a sucker for acidity, for good acidity. This was amazing, you know, that these guys, they adding acidity, citric acid to the fermentation tank and fermenting it there. And then obviously the process later on is in a raised honey. It's in raised beds and honey process. So it's a mixture. It's like an experimental coffee. But I love the freshness, the brightness. And again, acidity is carrying the flavors. Imagine if you're cooking vinegar with lemon or with wine in particular, then you have all those flavor components which just multiply and add. And, you know, for me, it was just the freshness, the brightness again, and a lot of flavors of stone fruit characters. I got some peach, some mango, some pear. I love that kind of red berry in the coffee. And it was just bright and refreshing. Finally, I think one of the best Tanzanian, or the best Tanzanian coffee which I had. I'm going to remember that. And shout out to Manhattan Coffee Roasters from the Gaia Farm. They found this amazing green coffee, which I'm very much hoping that also the people in Tanzania can try. Because the other sad story, which going back to my visit was, beside that, those guys who showed me the farm and all the equipment, and they were really passionate about that. But they also were explaining they have to export the good coffee, and they don't drink, they have to drink the leftovers, basically. And this is somehow a little bit sad, especially when you compare things in the wine world. It would be impossible to think that, you know, that if you go to a wine region anywhere in the world, in Italy, France, or wherever you go, and you cannot drink the best wines which they produce there. And if you're in Tanzania, this is what happens. The local people and the tourists, they possibly, you know, they're not going to drink the good stuff. It's going to be exported. And this was a bit sad that, you know, those people don't have the chance to taste the very fruit which they're producing very, very. And it's very hard to produce. I mean, I remember walking at foot of the Kilimanjaro. It was just, you know, there's a coffee plant, there's banana trees shading them up. And, you know, it was a little jungle there. So it is really hard and really tough to work. It's a beautiful environment, but it's a great challenge to make this product there, the raw material coffee, and they're not getting taste the good stuff. So I was a bit sad, of course, on that side. And I hope those people will have the chance to savor really the fruit as well of their very own product, which they have. And I just repeat myself, this is a really great coffee. I love the brightness, the freshness, again, beautiful acidity. And it's experimental, yeah. They openly admitting how they're doing it. I think this is great, making it so that it's exciting and it's fun as well. So, yeah, shout out to Manhattan. Then the Gaia Farm and those guys down in Tanzania, they made an excellent coffee. I have the last sip of this one here, which I just earlier brewed. Amazing. See you guys.